The reporting and the resources behind the stories you hear on WSHU depends on the sustained energy of people who care, people like you. I'm Shelley Hassman-Kadish. Your investments in WSHU Public Radio help us face daily challenges and meet them effectively, providing important information and ideas. Thank you for listening and for your support. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Suffolk Water Authority is suing Riverhead over plans for a North Fork water pipeline. Connecticut transportation officials consider using some diesel trains again to cut costs, plus how one local organization is fighting loneliness through the arts. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The Suffolk County Water Authority is suing the town of Riverhead over a controversial plan to build a water pipeline for North Fork residents. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio explains.
The Water Authority wants to build an 8.5-mile pipeline from Flanders through Riverhead up to Southold, where the current water supply can't keep up with demand. In court documents, the Water Authority says it's against the law for Riverhead town officials to insist that the project comply with their local zoning and land use rules. It says the pipeline is a public interest imperative, and that makes it immune from local requirements. The pipeline project has been a contentious topic at town meetings, with some officials and residents saying the construction would disrupt the town and the pipeline doesn't benefit Riverhead. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
State analysts say a tax cut plan released by Connecticut Senate Republicans last week spends more money than the state's projected budget surplus. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
According to the analysts, Connecticut's projected budget savings of $1.2 billion and $855 million over the next couple of years won't cover the $1.5 billion a year tax cut the Senate GOP is proposing. They say the plan would drain future budget surpluses and take money away from the state's early childhood education endowment, created last year to provide affordable childcare for working families. The Senate GOP minority plan does not have the support of the majority Democrats. Democratic Governor Ned Lamont's spokesman, Rob Blanchard, released a statement saying the Senate Republicans are repeating failed mistakes by relying on volatile surplus revenue to fund ongoing costs, a move that had previously led to painful cuts and tax hikes. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
The Connecticut Department of Transportation will consider a return to diesel trains for some routes in an effort to save money. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
Connecticut DOT says it will consider bringing back diesel trains on Shoreline East between New London and New Haven. The DOT was asked to find savings by the governor's office. Hearst Connecticut Media reports the change from electric trains could save the department $8.8 million each year. The electric trains with additional amenities were promoted as a way to increase ridership following a drop due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But DOT officials say it's expensive. Amtrak owns the infrastructure, and DOT must pay Amtrak to use the tracks, draw power from the overhead wires, and pay for the electricity itself. According to a fiscal analysis of the governor's budget proposal, using diesel trains could help offset the cost of an increase that the governor has requested for rail operations. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Officials say nearly one in two Americans experience measurable levels of loneliness. An expert weighs in on the latest installment of WSHU's Good at Heart, and that's coming up. Wow.
Classical music is alive. It's thriving because of contemporary artists responding to our evolving world. I'm classical music host Emily Boyer, and I'll connect you with today's top artists, plus music from the past that speaks to us now. Let art help you make sense of it all. Join me weekday mornings, streaming at WSHU.org and on the WSHU app, and on the radio at 91.1 FM and 107.5 FM.
Connecticut is honoring the town of Lyme for having the highest small-town voter participation in the state. Last election, 66% of the town's registered voters went to the polls. That's the highest percentage of towns with less than 10,000 residents. Secretary of State Stephanie Thomas is set to award the town the Democracy Cup trophy on Thursday. A recent video shows a Long Island man's head being hit against a brick wall by ICE agents in a recent video. The incident occurred last month in Hempstead Village. The victim said he received medical attention days later. ICE did not respond to requests for a comment from Newsday. Judges in Connecticut are asking for pay raises this year. They say it's to account for compensation disparities with other states. Judicial officials are asking the General Assembly for a 4.6% hike in pay. Lawmakers say they're looking at what their priorities are while being asked to also boost funding for education, Medicaid, and other social services. New York State Representative Keith Brown and State Senator Alexis Wake have announced they will not seek re-election. Both represent parts of Suffolk County. Republican Party members voted Councilwoman Dawn Marie Chun as their nominee for Brown's seat and Assemblyman Jarrett Gandolfo for Wake's seat. Party leaders say they're organizing to help support any Republican candidates this upcoming election.
This work actually emerged out of 9/11. I was shaken up by 9/11. I think almost everybody was. And I turned to some of my own personal creative interests through poetry and visual image making to explore my own very difficult thoughts, like how did this just happen? And what are the consequences in the world? And then I noticed pretty quickly, I wasn't the only one.
This observation led Dr. Jeremy Nobel to write the book Project Unlonely and to create the Foundation for Art and Healing. The goal is to improve public health and well-being by bringing people together through the creative arts. I'm Randy Kay, host of the podcast Good at Heart. We speak with people who quietly make the world better. Dr. Nobel is a longtime faculty member of the Harvard Medical School and the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. His discovery set him on a path to address the crisis of isolation and loneliness among the most vulnerable people, older adults, college students, employees, and any individuals within at-risk or marginalized communities.
I thought, this is so incredibly important. And as an internal medicine physician, public health practitioner, I kind of had a sense that we were missing an opportunity to use the arts as a way to engage ourselves, engage others, be better connected, and most importantly, to be healthier and more confident in navigating the challenges of the world. And it wasn't something that fit in immediately to the academic world I had based at Harvard. It didn't really feel at the time that that's something we knew how to research and explore. And so I uttered these hilariously ignorant words, "I'll start a nonprofit. How hard could that be?" So that's how we got started. And then as we began to deliver our arts-enabled programming, people told us that their storytelling and story sharing not only relieved stress and anxiety related to trauma, but made them feel less alone and more connected. And that's really what gave us the inspiration 12 or 13 years ago to start Project Unlonely.
What's the best advice you ever got or a quote that you live by? What would you like to share about that? Because you're helping others, but who has helped you?
You know, that's what a great question. I've been so helped along the way by so many teachers and mentors of all sorts. You know, I find tremendous inspiration in the thoughts and language of, you know, we might call philosophers, but also artists who've really been, I'll say, what artists do best, which is they pay attention. So there's a very famous quote from Picasso, anything you can imagine is real.
Ooh.
And so if you start from there and then go to Nietzsche saying we have art so we don't die from reality.
I haven't heard that one. I love that.
Then you begin to imagine why it is that we have the arts. I believe the arts have been part of humankind since the history of recorded history. Go to cave paintings.
Right.
Right? Why did people take time, even with so much urgent necessity in their lives, to share their stories on the walls? I mean, there's some images that are very powerful of just simple handprints on the wall in different colors. I think loneliness is a signal. It's a biologic signal. Just like thirst is a signal you need hydration to survive.
Right.
Loneliness is a signal we need other people to survive. First of all, one of the goals is to humanize and demystify loneliness. So people aren't afraid of it. Mm-hmm. They don't think if they're lonely, it's their fault. It's just a signal, right, that you need human connection. Very few people are embarrassed, guilty, or ashamed about being thirsty. Why are we embarrassed?
Tired.
And the answer is because it's a cultural construction in our current narrative that we're flawed. Mm. And the arts invite us to think outside of and redefine cultural narrative. And I think we're seeing that around us in the arts that are coming out now in this very strange post-pandemic period of uncertainty, anxiety. And it's a way to push back against the disconnection that many are experiencing with a certain kind of connection. But it's a particular kind of almost spiritual connection that you're part of something bigger.
Yes.
But that's so helpful because if you're part of something bigger, then you're not alone and you have a greater sense of confidence. You can navigate whatever challenges you encounter.
How can others help the project? How can others help you?
You know, When it came time to think about a call to action for the book, I thought, how do I take some incredibly complex, multi-layered question, how do you be less lonely, and convert it into some very simple guidance? So I'll share that with you. So I think the first thing I'd love people to do is just consider this call to action, which is six words. First is be curious, make something, have conversations. I would invite everyone to use curiosity as an entry point to a life of connection, not just to others, but to yourself. Because I think it's one of the forces, curiosity, that allows us to get past fear, despair,
judgment,
uncertainty, and just drive forward. And then the arts become a collaborating force in that journey, that you don't have to be a professional artist. You don't have to be Picasso. Just get out there, make marks on paper, put words down and string them together and you have a poem. Move across the floor, make that floor your stage and then you're a dancer. It's everywhere.
So be curious, make something, have conversations.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I have one final question. Dr. Nobel, why do you think we're here on Earth?
It's always occurred to me, and it builds on Buddhism and so on, you know, that while certain events are inescapable in life, we're born, we thrive, at some point we change and pass away, the suffering around those events is not essential. Difficult things happen. I'm not naive about that. But how we navigate those difficult times, how we either suffer or navigate in some more positive way with a sense of hope, possibility, opportunity, not always just for ourselves, but for others. This is what motivates me.
For the news you trust and music you love, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the free WSHU app. all the money in half the time. That's the goal of WSHU's winter fundraiser. It's half as long as a typical fund drive, but we still need to raise all the money it takes to keep WSHU and your favorite podcasts on the air. To make it happen, we need your support. Give now and your contribution will be doubled. Visit WSHU.org, or you can even give us a call if you like. The number is 800-777-9748. Thank you so much for your support. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.